May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek, but seek in vain? Shall I ask, and not obtain? Hymn 964.
Reading out of God's most holy word for tonight, you can find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy, chapter 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai, and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. For they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord, and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp, and he shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing, teach us to pray. O Lord God of heaven and of this earth, almighty art thou in all thy power. O Lord, none can withstand thee. How high art thou, Lord, in thy wisdom and knowledge, that none can attain unto thee. O most high and eternal Lord God, glorious and majestic in all thy ways, riding upon the wings of the wind. O Lord, thou art also a God of loving kindnesses and tender mercies. Gracious art thou, O Lord, and full of compassion, forbearing. Lord, we bow before thy presence tonight again, calling upon thy most holy name, and begging, Lord, that thou might remember us in thy tender mercies. O Lord, we come into thy presence as a company of poor sinners, desiring, Lord, to be fed that nourishment from heaven, and to receive a rich crumb of mercy from thy heavenly table. Lord, though we feel ourselves unworthy, truly as dogs to come before that table, O Lord, thou hast fed dogs before, and we pray tonight, Lord, our souls may be satisfied with those good things from heaven, all those rich crumbs of mercy, and those precious gifts which flow forth from thee. Look down, Lord, not upon us according to what we are, for there we are nothing worth, and nothing worth that thou shouldst set thy love upon us. But wilt thou do it for thy great name's sake, and for thy glory's sake, that thou might be glorified in the hearts of chief sinners this evening hour, and their hearts may be made tender, and that thou may be pleased, O Father, to send thy Spirit into our midst, and to teach us the ways that we know not, and to apply that sacred word of thine, I will lead the blind by a way they know not. Do guide us then, Lord, this night into the ways of salvation. Oh, take our hands and lead us through that narrow gate upon that highway of holiness. And teach us, O Lord, the paths of righteousness. We pray, Lord, that thou mercy might give us these things. For we cannot find them of ourselves nor perform them what lies within us. Lord, look down from heaven in mercy. Remember those outside of that sacred covenant, those sacred secrets. Lord, that thou would draw in tonight by thy precious power and mercy and loving kindness. Draw in, O Lord, those that are yet unregenerate, those untouched by the feeling of thy word, those that come in form and tradition but know not the great need of the soul. Oh, give them the prayer of Paul. Grant them, Lord, the sight of their wretched hearts, that they might turn unto thee and cry. Lord, that thou might give faith unto each one of us, that we might come trembling, that we might come pleading, and oh, that we might see our Lord and Savior tonight. Lord, do especially remember thy people here, who have tasted of thy love, felt the loveliness of Jesus Christ, have a longing and a true desire. Oh, I've seen him afar off and yet not nigh. Lord, bring such ones to Jesus tonight again. Bring them in their poor and contrite state to rejoice before Christ their Savior. Oh, that they might truly wash Jesus' feet with their tears and confess their poverty and unworthiness. But Lord, be lifted up and be embraced by the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, remember the downcast and sorrowing. Oh, remember, though, each one in the state they are. Bind this people, this church together. Fill them, Lord, with true humility, that unfeigned feeling the least of the brethren and sisters. And, Lord, to give that unity, give that love to the brethren, and fill their souls with a care for one another. And fill them, Lord, with prayers to heaven, that thy grace and mercy might dwell with them, and that countless others may yet be drawn in. Do remember, Lord, the deacons and their tasks and responsibilities, and fill them, Lord, with the desire, that they might be a help and a means of instructing others. Guide them in the choosing of the hymns, that they might truly be an edification to the church. Lord, remember them in their tasks, and do remember our beloved congregation at home. Lord, remember them all and their needs. Thou alone can perform these things. Lord, we turn unto thee, help us. Oh, help us even now this day, that our souls may be comforted, that the gospel may reach into our hearts. Remember, our dear friends, as they to read those sermons, and they may be blessed to the heart of the hearers. And Lord, remember all of the congregations throughout this land. Remember our denomination, Lord, in mercy and favor. Oh, smile down from heaven amongst us, and cause that word that it might flow richly into the hearts of the hearers, that multitudes even now might flow forth unto Jesus Christ. Lord, we commit unto thee our dear brethren, in all of their labors, in all of their needs, in all of their trials, in all of their weaknesses, Lord, remember them. Oh, they feel their poverty. They are but those weak earthen vessels. But thou would yet pour forth into them, that they, O Lord, might pour into the souls of the hearers those wondrous truths thou hast made known to them. Fill them with thy spirit and love, and they might go forth, strongly, confidently, in that precious Jesus whom they love. Lord, we ask for more men even now, whom thou wilt thrust out into thy vineyard anointed, and with thy spirit and taught those precious truths of thy word. O Lord, remember us, for our need is great. And we pray for every one of thy servants, and throughout this world where thou hast planted them, that thou, Lord, might give unto each one that zeal, that fervency of spirit, and grant them they might not fear no man. Oh, to be kept steadfast upon thy precious doctrines, and to be the means of comforting Zion. So, Lord, remember thy servants, and help them and guide them in their needs. Lord, we do commit unto thee the dear families in our midst this evening, and the great need, Lord, that they might be taught the responsibility of raising their children in thy ways. Oh, that thou would shine thy wisdom in their souls. And Lord, show them the great need, great responsibility have to train their children up in thy commandments. And there might be that blessing that flows forth, that the young ones might grow up in this world, and they might become those ones who are exercised and those ones who seek thy kingdom first. Oh, we pray, Lord, for the young ones, that they may not be ensnared in this world by all its pleasures, by the devil's temptations. O Lord, that thou might spare them, that thou might wrap thy arms round about them to preserve them, and lead them in the paths they walk in, and guide in each one in their businesses and homes. But Lord, set our souls on the things of heaven. Lord, remember this land and the leaders, and that thou, Lord, in mercy might remember. O Lord, we would bow even now, and cry unto thee, Lord, in wrath, remember thy mercy. For we only can say we deserve thy just judgments. But thou, Lord, delightest in mercy. Thou art almighty. Constrain us, Lord, and give us that spirit of repentance, that we might yet turn unto thy holy word. And Lord, we would ask thy mercy and thy blessing upon the sorrowing and sick, the weak and the burdened, and that they, Lord, might be softened in their trials, patient and submissive unto thy will concerning them, thy wisdom in their lives. And Lord, we pray that in these afflictions they may be given that grace to cast their burdens upon thee, to come to thee, Lord, opening up their heart and complaining unto thee, that thou, Lord, might remember them and appear on their behalf, that thou, Lord, might be pleased to bind up the wounds, and to soothe the sorrows and wipe away the tears. And Lord, that they might be given that grace and to praise thee for the affliction. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But oh, when afflicted, I smote upon my breast. Lord, who grant such blessing to them. We return this night again now, O God, and praise thee that thou only art our God, who rules and reigns in heaven and upon this earth. And thy will shall certainly be performed. And we do thank thee, O Lord God, that thou hast not dealt with each of us according to our sins, and that again tonight we may come into this house of prayer and gather around thy throne of grace and thy precious word. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for that sacred covenant, that eternal election, that covenant of grace with thy dear Son Jesus, a church that thou hast called, chosen and called, and justified and sanctified and glorified, a church that shall be saved, and a church that shall overcome through thy will. O Father, we do bless thee for thy continual care and thy continual supplies unto thy people, for the richness of thy providential blessings. O, we do fall down tonight, Lord, to praise thee, and we do thank thee for thy Son Jesus, the glories of Emmanuel, his holiness, his sacred spotless obedience, his wonders, his compassion, his friendship. O, the Lord Jesus Christ's willingness to go to Calvary and to bear that shame and to bear the sins of his people. O, him who died, who gave up his life and descended into the grave and rose up in that glorious power to breathe life into our souls. Our glorious Savior, who ascended into heaven and now resides at thy right hand to make intercession for us. Oh, those wonders we would praise thee for, Heavenly Father, and the sacredness of the gift of thy Holy Spirit dwelling in our temple. Oh, the blessings that we receive from him, we would fall down tonight again to praise thy worthy name. And now, Lord God, we would, as we would begin this service, oh, remember us, Lord, we come to confess our incompetency. We are insufficient and unable to do these things. Lord, do breathe the thoughts, the words. Oh, send thy Spirit, guard in speaking and in hearing, that we all together may see yon lovely man. Oh, remember us, Lord Jesus, we call upon thy holy and precious name. Wash our worship in thy precious blood. Receive all we have begged and prayed of thee graciously, and forgive us our many sins. And we ask all through Jesus Christ's sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 893. If guilt pursue thee with its cry, and would to prison hail, to Jesus Christ the surety fly, and he will give in bail. Hymn 893.
certainly if you don't, you need the Lord's help again for this evening hour. We draw your prayerful attention to the chapter that we've read together, Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. We'd like to speak this evening, our beloved friends, as the Lord may enable us on this sacred topic of a refuge. That our God is a refuge for the weary soul. That our sacred God is a hiding place for those who are pursued. And that the weary, the fainting, the drooping spirit may find comfort in the precious arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved friends, if we think for a moment of the message this morning hour, we would say the depressing message in that sense, or the solemn message of the Word of God declaring that truly the troublesome times shall come. When we think of these solemn truths, what a more blessed and precious message that there is a refuge in the midst of all these things. And it is not just a refuge, beloved friends, that is temporary. Not just a refuge that may be just for 1 year or a decade, but is what our word declares, an eternal refuge from the eternal God. And we would think of this, it even elevates the sacredness of our Most High God, the exceeding great kindness of our God, the loving kindness of our God to His people, His peculiar people. And the reason that I say this is because the Lord's blessing is to Jezreel, His people, His nation Israel, and in a spiritual sense to His spiritual Israel. But I couldn't help but turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9 and find a description there, beloved friends, given of Israel, of her character. In Deuteronomy 9, we find the Israelites spoken of in what they really are like. Understand it therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess the land. But for the wickedness of those nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee, not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. How very clearly described is the character of Israel, that they are perverse, they are rebellious, they are stiff-necked, they are proud in their nature to have claimed victory through their own strength and ability. Here, beloved friends, we see in the midst of this a confession of whom Israel truly is, yet God proves faithful to His promise. His promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God proves faithful to His love, His everlasting love for His people. And God proves faithful to His oaths and promises, what He has spoken to this people. How sacred it is, beloved friends, when we may find ourselves amongst the Lord's people. We might find ourselves under the trust of this Most High God, that He might shower us with the truth of what it is to be in a refuge. What it is, beloved friends, to have a hiding place, a place may we flee to in all of our troubles and all of our anxieties. We want to begin then, beloved friends, of giving a brief description of our God. We cannot even begin to describe who our God is, but in that sense that He describes Himself tonight as eternal. The eternal God is thy refuge. When we think of this, first and foremost, beloved friends, we think that it is an eternal refuge, an eternal safety, eternal hiding place, a place that we might go and that rest, that safety, that peace, that comfort, that deliverance is sure, and that for eternity. Time that has no ending. But I want to back up for a minute. I want to back up, beloved friends, what it is to need a refuge. We need to be refugees. This text, beloved friends, is exceeding precious unto refugees, a people who have fled the land, a people who have no safe place anymore, a people persecuted, a people facing famine, starvation, and no future prospects in the land in which they dwell. They seek a better country. They seek a better place, a place of better promises and better prospects, better things than that they are currently now facing. You can look in around the world around us. We have so many refugees. I'm speaking providential now, but we can see the circumstances they are in. There's no prospect at home. They're seeking a better home and a better place. And so it is, dear friends, with the Lord's children. They are refugees, and they need a hiding place. They need something they do not have at the current time or situation. They're hunted out like a partridge. They know something of David's cry, "One day I shall yet perish at the hand of Saul." They know something, beloved friends, of Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, of the City of Destruction, a time in which they find no more peace and no more safety. The city is burning around them, and they flee for the safety of their lives. And so we see, dear friends, in a brief way, what it is to be a true refugee. It is to leave behind what we formerly were, what we formerly possessed, and it's to find a hiding place which we do not yet have. God describes Himself in this chapter and His promises to Israel through Moses. He describes Himself, "Thy eternal God is thy refuge." What a sacred thing if we may have God as our refuge. And God described as the eternal God. In that sense, we would say the incomprehensible, unfathomable, immeasurable God, with whom we can never understand. We cannot even come to the close in understanding the truths and realities of our God. And I don't know how it is with you, but I do know how it is in my own heart. I do thank my God that He is so high above me, and so more wiser than I can ever be, or even approach unto Him in knowing who He is. This is a comfort to my soul. A great comfort to my soul, of the height of my God's wisdom, the depth of my God's wisdom, the immensity of His wisdom, of His knowledge. Who can find Him out? It is the truth of our God. And that He's eternal, that He has no beginning. He has no end. He is that eternal now, always the same. He never diminishes. He never increases, for He is always full, without an infinite number. never created. For he was first, the eternal God, higher than the angels, for they were created by him. Infinity, an infathomable example or a characteristic of our God, thy eternal God. And why this, I believe, friends, is so sacred in our hearts when we may find him as a refuge, when we begin to speak of his love, of his mercy, of his favors, of his goodness, of his protection, of his power. And you continue through all the wondrous truths of our God, that he is in each of these eternal. Remember thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, O Lord, David says in Psalm 25, for they have been ever of old. That we may come unto this God, beloved friends, in every trial and every trouble of life, and know that the gifts and graces of God are without measurement. From the time that he began to save his people in the beginning of time to this very moment, his goodness, his graces have not diminished. They have not been depleted. They flow with the same abundance and the same riches and the same sweetness and the same savor as they did from the beginning of our time. For he is the eternal God. When we think, dear friends, of the opposition to our soul, when we think of the animosity of Satan and his vehemence against us, and his fiery darts by which he seeks to destroy us, and the temptations he throws at us, oh, that that my God is eternally the same. Almighty in power, omniscient in knowledge, that he knows all things at all times, everywhere, forever, eternal. What sacred truths, that we might bow our heads in prayer, beloved friends, and know that he knows the very thoughts and intents of our hearts before they even come to pass, not just mine, and not just each one of us, but the entire creation, or the entire inhabitants of this entire world from the beginning to the very end. The eternal knowledge of our God, the eternal God, Moses says to Israel, is thy refuge. What a sacred truth, that we may come with confidence, that we may come with boldness unto this God, for his word shall never fail. His love can never be diminished to us. And his precious goodness is forever sure to us. To a refugee. Let us be careful here, friend. To a refugee. We would say to a poor and needy sinner seeking that better country. To a soul that is sinking and sinking and sinking, and needs to find safety that is outside of himself. This is such a sacred thing. When we find the realities of this morning service, and it sinks with as lead in our hearts, and it sinks with reality of the judgments of God. But what shall we fear, beloved friends? What shall I fear, though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand? But the hand of the Lord shall be with me. And the power of God shall support me, and the love of God shall embrace me. What shall I fear? Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord speaks of that, of the realities of who he is in this people, in this refugee, in this tried and troubled people, that their eye might be lifted up to heaven and cry to the Almighty God, the eternal God, that he might protect, that he might deliver and sustain in all their trials in life. The eternal God is thy refuge. Before we go any further, dear friends, I want to clarify what I believe in my heart, that the refuge of God can be found in no other place than in the precious truth of Jesus Christ, his precious Son. Exodus 33, I think it's the 22nd verse, when Moses is asking the Lord to show him his glory, and he let his goodness pass by him, and that he could not reveal himself to Moses in that sight, But he hit him in the cliff of the rock and let his goodness pass by before him. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The refuge, beloved friends, of our soul lies in the wonders of the redeeming Savior. And again we come to the cliff of the rock that was smitten by Moses that flowed forth that blood and water. That precious refuge place for dying sinners. The blood that did for sin atone. The sacred compassions of Jesus Christ to represent his people that need a refuge. It is there that they truly find a refuge for their poor dying soul. The wonders of the glorious Savior in his pierced hands and his pierced feet. As he lifted up his hands unto his people that they might behold. I think particularly of Thomas, a wonderful example. Thrust in thy hand into my side and believe. Enabling that blessed Thomas, who was such a doubter, to say, My Lord and my God. Oh, what a refuge, dear friends, Jesus Christ is to his people. To his poor fleeing pilgrims that are truly seeking a better place, that are fleeing from such terrors made known to their souls. The Lord Jesus Christ, then, dear friends, as it stays in the theme of that dear dying man, or the sacred holiness of our beloved Savior as he works in a righteousness for his poor sinful people, a refuge in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. All their needs, friends, center in Jesus, that glorious man whose name is Emmanuel. Or we can take it in the second way, a refuge in him who now lives forevermore at the right hand of his glorious Father. We find that recorded in Hebrews chapter 6, where it says there at the end of the chapter, We who for consolation have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth within the veil, whither our forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek. And so we see, beloved friends, we have that refuge in the risen, ascended Savior. The one who lives forever and ever and ever to make intercession for his people. The glorious Jesus Christ, the great, the faithful, oh, the compassionate high priest, who is touched with the feeling, the trembling feelings, the low feelings, the broken and contrite heart of his children, as they look up unto him with the cry and the necessity of the soul, crying, Lord Jesus, remember me in thy kingdom. There is that refuge of the soul. There is the hope, which is like that, they are that little ship. And that hope is anchored in that risen Savior. In him whose office as a high priest is to save to the uttermost all those that come unto God by him. And that sacred office is to present all their sorrows and pleas and cries to the Heavenly Father through him. That they might have a refuge, that they might feel the preciousness of that refuge, and they might find themselves safe from the fiery darts of Satan. That they might find a hiding place when they are so sorely tried and tempted. And they might find deliverance, beloved friends, when they are pursued, which we will soon come in, what is pursuing them and what makes them become refugees. They fasten their hope, they fasten their pleas upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they might have a comfort in the soul, that they might be cheered in the soul, that they might be sustained in their trials. And that they might be enabled to sing the songs of praise unto their worthy Savior, husband, lover, friend, and all and in all. Looking, what that word says, looking unto Jesus by faith. Oh, dear friends, none but a refugee looks unto Jesus, because none but a refugee needs Jesus. Their souls are filled with sorrow. Their souls are filled with anxiety. Their souls are filled with petitions. And they are, dear friends, a sinking, pleading, crying people. And their plea ascends into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the powerful, eternal God, that he might deliver them from each of their sorrows and each of their peculiar circumstances. A refuge. And that refuge is in heaven. He is that hiding place that they might come to. And he is that hiding place they may confide in. And he is a hiding place by which they shall find safety from all their enemies. A precious refuge. We think of the great king, and as we will come to the arms and to the command to thrust out, of the king. What is the office of the king? Why? To deliver from the enemy. The refuge of the poor soul ascends into the office of the glorious Jesus Christ as my king, the king of kings, the refuge of my soul against those who seek to destroy me. Again, friends, it goes back to the natural image of the refugee. There are countless ones that seek to destroy, who would utterly consume them if they could. But the eternal God, again we go to power, the almighty power of God. None shall ever resist him, and all the nations of the earth are to him as less than the dust and the balances. Behold, to them they are counted less than vanity, nothing. The eternal God in his power, it's eternally the same. It never diminishes. It is never a place that we may go with apprehension and say, perhaps today it is in such a low state or such a low measurement that there's none for me. No, the Lord declares to his poor, weak sinner, there is an abundance of power available for you. The King of Kings shall sustain thee and deliver thee. You see, friends, it's a poor sinner. It's a weak, trembling one. One having no merit, no might, no strength, no ability in himself to sustain himself. And there he comes trembling, and there he comes pleading his gracious King. A refuge. A refuge for a weary soul. And now, dear friends, we will show you some of the things in which a soul needs to find refuge. And some of the things that make the name of Jesus Christ, the compassion of Jesus Christ, so suitable to their station, their circumstances. And the wonders of the conquering Jesus Christ, he's ascended into heaven and led captivity captive. Satan chained in chains and held captive by Jesus Christ. The wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ to a refuge-seeking soul. The avenger of death. The seeker of the soul to destroy. Being pursued, well nigh consumed by the avenger of death, will make that precious refuge of everlasting life and eternal safety be exceedingly necessary to one. We look again, beloved friends, of that fiery law. And here in Deuteronomy again, we have described that the Lord brought that fiery law down from Mount Sinai. The fiery law, beloved friends, which is described as holy, just, and good. But that which became was ordained to life, I found to be unto death, the Apostle Paul says. Oh, friends, have we found the fiery law to be death to us? And all that was ordained to life, I found that I could not do. Have we found, beloved friends, the power of that law, how strong, how weighty, how heavy it is, hanging upon my soul and not bringing life, but bringing death? When the commandment came, Paul said, sin revived and I died. I had not known lust except the commandment had said, thou shalt not covet. And into the heart goes that solemn power of the law and I die. I'm condemned. I have no hope. Hopeless and sinking by the power of God's holy and righteous law. Have you been there? Has it entered, beloved friends, with such reality that we sink with the load of that sin? Not just one law, one commandment, But the entire commandment of God I have neglected. Other lords beside thee, O Lord, have had dominion in my soul, is the honest confession. Pursued. Where can I flee? And where shall I find a refuge for my poor soul that shall die if I do not find a cure for the law, and an answer for the law, and a satisfaction to the law, and a holiness for the law that I cannot perform? Well, that blessed Spirit who was brought in the power of the law in the first place, that same sacred gift from the eternal God, and that Holy Spirit that's sent into the heart to teach, will point that same sinner, look to the refuge. Look to the way of escape. Set your heart upon the throne of grace. Like we sung, wait, watch, and pray. Wait and pray, wait and pray. Pray, 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 dear friends. Pray for that precious one whose name is Jesus Christ, the refuge for the law. The escape from the law and the sentence of death through the law. Flee to him and set before him all your confessions. Don't come, dear friends, telling the Lord how much you pray and how much you read and how many services you go to. But come to him and set before him the catalogue of your sins. And open up the heart and acknowledge, like dear Daniel. Daniel, who was there confessing the sins of himself and his people before the Lord God. Oh, come before him, dear friends, and open up the catalogue of sins and its deceitfulness. Oh, the murderous attentions and the blasphemies and the vile disorders of the heart, and set it before the Lord Jesus Christ, the refuge, for those who are damned by the law. There alone you will find the escape. Again, beloved friends, when we are a people who are in famine, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we can find no righteousness in the land and this world, in this place in which we live. We can find no satisfaction, beloved friends, for our poor, perishing souls, none whatsoever. And we will never find a refuge, dear friends, in this life to prepare us for eternity. Are we seeking, dear friends, for that better country, the country of a better hope and spiritual blessings? We are to flee and become pilgrims and strangers and aliens on this world, dear friends, and to seek a refuge in the ascended Savior, to be prepared for that never-ending eternity, to be prepared for the day of judgment, friends. We are to flee for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ, to conform our wretched bodies, our worldly-mindedness, to be conformed to his gracious image, and to hate the things of this world. We can never hate this world. We can never successfully, dear friends, overcome the power of the world, except we find refuge in his bleeding side. Except we are breathed life into our soul by the resurrection power of him who becomes our refuge. Are we fleeing, dear friends, in that sense? Finding that the world has an aching void? Finding that the world is only a place with emptiness and poverty? And the world cannot satisfy my desire, my longing, my spiritual appetite, my hope? Are we setting forth before ourselves, beloved friends, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the life that he breathes into his dead sinners? The eternal God is thy refuge in Jesus Christ, to aspire to the things of heaven. If ye then be risen with God, with this eternal God, if ye then be risen with God, set your affections in heaven. But have we set our affections on heaven? And can we honestly say, thou Lord knowest that I'm tired of this world, and I'm tired of all its gifts and riches, and I seek only thy presence and thy blessings. I seek only communion with thee. But how poor I am in my returns. How often I find that the natural man is such a bar to my spiritual welfare. When I seek to aspire to the things of heaven and set my mind on the scripture reading and on meditation and in prayer, how often I find the eyes wandering, or I become sleepy, or I begin to think even of the things of this world. To find, dear friends, a lively spiritual affection and a living faith, we must flee for refuge to Christ. He has to feed our soul. He has to breathe life within us, and therefore we are to flee into his presence, clinging fast unto him that he might give us life, that spiritual life, what we call resurrection power, what Paul longed for and breathed after, oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, a refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge. And to find, dear friends, the ability to perform these things must come from Jesus Christ. Oh, dear sinners, our dear friends, are we plagued with sin? Are we plagued with the sin of this world? But worse than that, are we plagued with the sin of our heart? Are we consumed with the reality of that dreadful, evil, and wretched heart that only sins and all it can do is sin? Have we come to the place of the Apostle Paul? Oh, wretched man that I am, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. All to complain, how to perform. The desire is to perform, but how to perform that I will, I know not. Lord, thou knowest this soul's desire is truly to follow thee and to live a holy life, but sin attends everything I do. My wretched disposition, my rebellious spirit. Friends, we began with that. Israel was rebellious and stiff-necked. Israel was a provoker of God to anger almost daily. Israel tempted God daily with their sins and their abominations. And do we mourn this similar state in the soul? Are we affected, beloved friends, of the reality of our perverseness? How soon we may have resolve. I remember a most dreadful state before I left in Canada. A simple task, one a normal, sane person could do easily. But everything went wrong. Everything went wrong. And such an anger and such evilness stirred up in the heart to say, can ever God dwell in such a sinner? To feel the plague of the heart and scarce, dear friends, dare go into pulpit again. If the people knew the true thoughts of your heart, they would send you out the back door. Plagued, beloved friends, with sin. Where shall I find, dear friends, holiness? And where shall I find the subduing of the iniquities within me? In the refuge of Jesus Christ, the eternal God. The eternal God is our refuge to subdue the iniquities. I love that word. Him, Jesus Christ, according to the, I think it's in the end of Philippians, it says, Jesus, according to his power, which worketh in us, shall subdue our iniquities within us. I say it in my own words, not verbatim. The refuge of Jesus Christ, and that holiness in Jesus Christ, and the love of Jesus Christ to his refugees, shall subdue their iniquities within them, and shall pour within them holy desires, enabling them to overcome their sinful ways and become obedient to his commandments. What a refuge the Lord Jesus Christ is, dear friends, when we see the opposition that faces the Lord's people. You see the false Christian, the professing Christian, he goes merrily on his way. They have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Oh, they can maintain their faith, they can maintain their speech, they can maintain their conversation, and outwardly speaking, they look so much better. They act so much better, they talk so much better. But beloved friends, they don't need a refuge. They are their own refuge. They can maintain their way. They can keep their faith active. Not so the child of God. His soul is filled with complaints. His understanding is enlightened to know that he is a poor, wretched sinner and can never lift himself out of the dust of the dunghill. What a wretched, poor creature he is and remains. Therefore his plea is, Lord, help me. Lord, hide me in thy wounded side. Lord, draw me under the shadow of thy sacred wings, the healing of the wings of the Son of Righteousness. Is that our cry? Is that our need, beloved friends, that we might be found safe in the refuge of Jesus Christ? That we might find that virtue of Jesus Christ applied to us, the life of Jesus Christ given to us, and the blood of Jesus Christ sprinkled upon us? We have a sacred and blessed Savior, friends. Oh, the wonders and the beauty and the sufficiencies of our Lord Jesus Christ as he becomes our hiding place, our refuge. And the sooner that we are enabled to fly to him, to flee to him, the safer it shall be. It is there when it says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. It is, beloved friends, in the hiding place of Jesus Christ. How dreadful it is when we think that we have some type of strength or ability to defend ourselves against the wiles of Satan. Be wary of Satan, your adversary, for he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In another portion it says, who are taken captive by Satan at his will. And Jesus says to Peter, now that I have prayed for thee, there's that refuge, beloved friends, of Satan. That refuge against his temptations and his power and his subtle wiles and his snares that he sets before our feet. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, for Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. And so we see, dear friends, to be safe and to resist Satan in all his temptations. It is to come to Jesus and to confide in Jesus in all things. It is to find our strength in the Lord Jesus Christ, our wisdom from the Lord Jesus Christ, and our cleansing from Jesus Christ, and the perseverance of our soul from Jesus Christ. A refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Again, beloved friends, we have a refuge, we have a hiding place, a place of safety. And what a wonderful place it is. Oh, what sacredness and what safety we may find in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And then we have that sacred truth revealed here again. There are arms. The arms that symbolize strength and love and care. And the arms are described as everlasting, from an everlasting God and an everlasting and eternal refuge. I believe it's in Isaiah 40, 28. We have something of the truth of this God as he holds out his arms to his poor, weary travelers. Underneath are the everlasting arms to that sinking soul. Sinking in sorrow, sinking in despondency, sinking having no more strength in self. We sung it tonight. Oh, the Lord often waits till his people are faint. He waits till his sheep have no more strength. They no more kick, they no more fight against the net. They are absolutely without any strength. They're sinking, sinking. And they soon may feel they will sink away into everlasting doom. But what is said tonight, beloved friends, unto that desponding and poor and perishing soul, whose cry, remember this, friends, whose cry is to Jesus, their eternal refuge. Lord, save me. Have you ever needed saving, friends, like Peter? Walking up upon the waters in your own strength, we look down. We look down at the waters, we look down at our difficulty. We look down at our circumstances, immediately we begin to sink. And what is the cry of such a soul? Lord, save me. And the door Jesus reached forth, and oh, he did chide him, that wherefore did he doubt? But he saved him, beloved friends, that he should not perish. Isaiah 40, 27, 28. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God, this eternal God, this everlasting God who is a refuge, who is a safety, whose power, whose goodness, whose mercy and loving kindness. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, here comes that theme again, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He lays his arms under them and sustains them in their trial that they should not perish. For he is never weary. This eternal God, beloved friends, doesn't know what it is to be tired. I say this reverently in the sense of God, the eternal God. For his power never diminishes. He is never faint nor weary. He never slumbers nor sleeps. And whether we in this part of the land are sleeping in Canada, we are wide awake, or vice versa, or throughout the world, the darkness and the light are the same to him.
His strength is the same. His love is the same. His concern is the same. His knowledge is the same. It never diminishes. And though they may sink, they will never fall away completely, for his everlasting arms of love and mercy and tender kindness envelop them, surround them, protect them, and embrace them. This Lord, this eternal God, beloved friends, is full of compassion to this people, though they may not understand it yet. Oh, his love to them is an everlasting love. I think of that beautiful word in Jeremiah 31, the third verse, I believe, where it says of the everlasting love of this God is upon his children. Therefore, with kindness have I drawn them. You see, beloved friends, the sacredness, the beauty, the comfort of the Lord's people, whose trust is in this God. Wherefore didst thou fear, O thou of little faith? Am I not the eternal God, thy eternal refuge? Are we a fearing one tonight, beloved friends? Are we a sinking one? Are we one trembling under the apprehensions of sin, of our own sinfulness, of our own weakness? Are we, beloved friends, so exceedingly tried by the temptations of Satan that we scarce can tell the difference between Satan's voice and our sins? Do we need, beloved friends, this sacred refuge? Oh, that the Lord might grant you that strength and faith to persevere, to call upon his name, and to press before him, dear friends, this sacred text. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. Excuse me. And the Lord shall say to that people who rest in his arms and give up their all into his hands, he is my refuge. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my defender, my God, my rock, my high tower, my strength, my shield, my buckler, David said in Psalm 18. And to such beloved friends, of such people, beloved friends, and the Lord shall say unto that people, to all their enemies, to their sins, and to the devil and to their temptations, he shall thrust them out with his arm. He shall give them that peace they desire, for they are in the presence of him. They are in his refuge. They are in him, the hiding place. And to that people shall be granted that peace they desire. And the Lord shall give them that strength to destroy those things that are contrary to their peace and salvation. So, beloved friends, may the Lord be glorified tonight again in this solemn message. Though we may face so many trials and troubles, though there may be a bleak future that lies before us, not when God is our eternal refuge, not when the eternal Lord God looks down upon us and works within us, exercises our souls and brings us as poor repenting sinners into Jesus' feet. And our plea is only, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. When we cannot be content, beloved friends, in any other refuge of lies and deceit, that our only place of refuge and the only place of safety and the only place of deliverance is in Jesus Christ and all that applies to Jesus Christ. Such souls shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed, we would say in that sense, of that people that seek that refuge in Jesus Christ, for they shall be eternally safe. There's an eternal God, there's an eternal refuge, but the people that find refuge in him shall be eternally safe from all their enemies. May the Lord press upon our hearts tonight, dear friends, the urgency to find that refuge in Jesus Christ if we have not yet found it. And may the Lord grant unto his dear people who know the sweet meltings of that refuge, that one who is a refuge, may the Lord grant us that Christian spirit and faith to maintain our position, our stance at his in himself, staying close to the side of Jesus Christ, and that we may be maintained through the remainder of our life, and that our life is through him that loves us, him that breathes life within us, him that cleanses us. I think of that word. We'll end there, dear friends, and I heard it repeated this morning, but it's very applicable now. Of that precious advocate. What a precious refuge that is there too. If any man sin, we have an advocate in the heaven with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, what a refuge that is, dear friends, when that advocate pleads our cause and pleads on our behalf, pleads our safety and pleads our eternal refuge. He is a propitiation for our sins, but not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Oh, may we know something, dear friends, of this refuge. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £700, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Decker will preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day, and on the afternoon of next Lord's Day, he will give out the prizes to the Sunday school. There will be a young people's gathering at Andy and Beck's on Friday evening. And we draw your attention to the meeting of the Trinitarian Bible Society Auxiliary on Saturday. A notice is on the notice board. But let us close with hymn number 55. Come, guilty souls, and flee away to Christ and heal your wounds. This is the welcome gospel day, wherein free grace abounds. Hymn number 55.
Dear Lord, all that thou would forgive what thy pure eyes have seen amiss again in this evening hour. And Lord, that thou might go with us out the doors of this house of prayer into the unknown week. O Lord, that thou might preserve us. Truly, Lord, that thou would wrap thy arms around each one of us to spare us and preserve us. And grant, Lord, that that word might enter into our souls and bring forth that fruit unto righteousness, a refuge making God, and a refuge, Jesus Christ, for poor and guilty sinners. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.